I was raised in an evangelical Episcopal church in the Bible Belt of the South in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I was taught that men were by nature superior to females, and that it was okay to hate Jews, and that homosexuals were either mentally sick or morally depraved, and that segregation was the will of God. And the Bible was quoted to prove all of those things were true. And it took me a long time to get a different kind of reality and walk through some of those prejudices. I've always wanted to be a priest or a pastor, and yet I found myself always conflicted because the Bible that I treasure and that I've read extensively in my life is written between 1,000 BCE and 135 AD, or between 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, and it makes assumptions I cannot make. It assumes that the earth is the center of the universe. It assumes that human life was created perfect only to fall into sin and to need some sort of divine rescue. It assumes that sickness is divine punishment because nobody in that era knew anything about germs or viruses, leukemia or tumors. It assumes that mental illness is demon possession and epilepsy is demon possession. It assumes things that it's impossible for me to assume, and I either have to reject the Bible, as so many of my contemporaries do, as simply irrelevant to the world in which I live, or I've got to find a different way to read the Bible and to see it as a pointer to a truth that it cannot fully embrace. We also, as a Christian, I live in a world and in a tradition that has creeds that were basically shaped in the 4th century. And again, the 4th century made all kinds of assumptions that I cannot make today as a 21st century thinking human being. And most of the worship in the Christian church is shaped and formed, sometimes even defined by the mentality of the 13th century. We still are really 13th century people in the way we relate to worship. And again, I cannot think as a 13th century person. So my choices are either to close my mind to the realities of the modern world and to the learning of the last, say, 500 years in order to be a Christian, and that would make me a fundamentalist where I do not want to engage the new thought of the new world, or I reject everything about my religious heritage and simply join what Harvey Cox called the secular city and what I call the Church Alumni Association and be free of this religious superstition that we call church or Christianity or God. And so I've tried to find a way to live within the tension of being a 21st century thinking person and a believing Christian. Sometimes that tension's enough to tear you apart, but I find in that tension a whole different way to approach both my religious background and the knowledge of my generation.
That's great. That's great, Jack. I'm wondering, could you sum up how you see your own calling in this larger movement, this time of helping the Christian tradition and Christians to embrace an evidential understanding of reality without having to reject the tradition to do so? You've played a really vital role. I mean, I remember back all three churches that I pastored, United Church of Christ congregations, one in western Massachusetts, one in southeast Ohio, and the other in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And in each of those churches, we studied your book, Rescuing the Bible from Fundamentalism. And so you've made a difference in my ministry. But I'm curious, how would you describe your ministry, your mission in this larger movement?
Well, let me say, first of all, that Christianity has been an ever-changing movement through its entire history. And anybody that doesn't quite understand that doesn't understand history. We were born as a Jewish faith community. Jesus was a Jew. The disciples were Jews. The experience of Jesus was interpreted within a Jewish framework. That's why Mark, the first gospel we've written, starts out by saying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the prophets, and quotes Malachi and Isaiah. That's the way the Christian story formed. By the end of the second century, it had become pretty much a Gentile religion, and it needed to redefine itself in terms of the prevailing thought forms of the Greek-speaking Gentile world, which was basically a Neoplatonic thinking world. And Augustine rose up in the late 4th century and began to try to rethink the Christian story in terms of the context of a Neoplatonic Greek-thinking world. And that lasted for about 1,000 years. And then a lot of other elements came into Western civilization, the Renaissance, knowledge from the East that we had never processed before. And we had to rethink it again. And at this point, I think the Protestant Reformation was an attempt on the part of the Christian community to rethink that. Now, in between those, we had a shift in the Greek world from Plato to Aristotle, and Thomas Aquinas rethought the Christian faith in terms of Aristotelian categories. I think what is going on in our world today is that we live on the other side of people like Copernicus, Kepler, and Galileo. And so we have to look at the universe in a way we've never looked at it religiously before and make sense out of our God claims within that world. We've got to look at the universe, at the world we live in on the other side of Isaac Newton, who took away the concept of miracle and magic with which the Christian story is so deeply compromised, I would say. And we have to look on the other side of Charles Darwin. Now, the Darwinian revolution has shaken the Christian story to its roots, and that's why you have this incredible negativity in our society toward the thinking of Charles Darwin. I mean, everything from the debate that the Bishop of Oxford had with him within a year after that book came out. Christianity has resisted Darwin, to the Scopes trial, to the publication of the Fundamentals in the United States between 1910 and 1915. To creation science, to intelligent design. Enormous energy has been spent trying to resist and dispute Darwin. Now, the fact is that the religious community has lost that war. They don't all realize that, but that war is lost. The medical world, the scientific world, assumes Darwinian principles in everything it says and does. And, you know, the fact that we have to go get vaccinated every year for a different strain of influenza means that the influenza virus is evolving and mutating to respond to the vaccinations, so that, you know, everybody, even the fundamentalists, are being shaped by evolutionary thinking, whether they admit it or not, just when they go get their flu shots. So that what's going on is that throughout history, we have had constantly to rethink the Christian symbols in terms of a new worldview, and I think that's all that's going on today. We are trying to think about how we can make sense out of the symbols of our religious heritage in a world that is radically different from the world that we inherited as the Christian people walking through history.